Thank you, Krista. We want to consider this morning the prayer of the Messiah. So, what happens when you pray and it doesn't work out the way you prayed? Have you had those experiences? I have. And sometimes I feel that, okay, then I need to go back to God and say, okay, God, what? Perhaps there's a nudging in another direction of how I should pray. I remember a time, this business of letting God answer your prayer the way he would like to answer it, as opposed to how I want him to answer it. I remember this gentleman who was, it was fall of the year, he was a farmer, and there was a lot of rain all of September. I know I'm not talking to a farming congregation here, probably, so, but you maybe understand a little bit of how this works. And it had rained all of September. He had, his harvest was out in the field. There was probably a foot of mud everywhere. And he was getting stuck with his combine. He couldn't get the crop off. He prayed that it would get hot and dry all of October. That's not what happened. You know what happened? It turned to 35 below. You know what happened to all that mud? Became like a parking lot. He could drive his combine wherever he wanted to and pick up his harvest, and he was able to bring in the harvest into the bins. You know what? Sometimes God has a different way to answer the prayer that we have, and we pray in certain ways, and God has a way for us. There is a belief that God is sovereign, and that he will work according to his perfect will, regardless of the way we pray or what we do. There's also a belief that God's actions pertaining to us are determined largely on the basis of our prayers. Actually, the Bible supports both views. The Bible seems to hold them in tension for us. The Bible is very clear in its teaching on the sovereignty of God. It's also clear about the free will of man. Mankind, that God desires people to pray to him, and in fact, he desires us to implore him for help and guidance and provision, protection, mercy, forgiveness, and many other needs. The Bible never requires us to know, nor is it even possible to fathom the divine working that his word gives. Sometimes we're nudged in a certain direction, we understand this is what God's will is, a certain area. But there are times when we just don't know which way should I even pray. The book of Romans talks about that. Remember, prayer is not getting our will done in heaven. It is getting God's will done here on earth. Our Lord's teaching on the present passage contains some key principles on prayer. There are two distinct aspects to this matter of prayer. We want to consider the audience of prayer. We want to consider the pattern of prayer. First of all, think about the audience of prayer. There is both a false audience and a true audience. People are really the false audience for our prayers. Matthew 6, verse 5 says, "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues on the street corners to be seen by men." Here are some faults about Jewish prayer during the time of Jesus and perhaps even afterwards. Prayer became ritualized. Prayer was often memorized and the wording set. Now, there's really nothing wrong with a memorized prayer, unless you're not really thinking about the words that you're actually saying. You know, you teach your children No, I'll lay me down to sleep. Oh, no, you're not supposed to say that prayer with children anymore. Because at the end of the prayer, they get scared. So I won't even go the rest of that. But it's nothing wrong with teaching a prayer to children that they would memorize. At first, probably, it's just something that mom or dad taught them. But then later on, they come to understand the true meaning of that. There were two kind of specific prayers that the Jewish people would say regularly. In fact, they were supposed to say it three times a day. One was the Shema, which is the passage from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Hear, O Lord, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. That was one. There was also the Shemana Ezrei, which was a collection of 18 prayers that had been collected over time. And people would pray them at specific times each day, at 9 in the morning, 12 noon, and 3 o'clock. Although later, those prescribed times were adjusted and were changed a little bit. I visited the Sherry Zedek Synagogue in Winnipeg when I was going to Bible college as part of my studies. There, the rabbi told us that the prayers were held in early morning, late afternoon, and early evening. That way, people could come to the synagogue twice and kind of capture those three prayer times. Early in the morning, before they go to work, probably. Then on the way home, they would then, maybe around 5 o'clock or something like that, they would pray. And then almost right away, they'd do the service over again so you could stay for both services and you'd done the three times. Think back. Pray at 9, noon, and at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. You guess it. Many people would arrange their life so they made sure they were at the busiest street corner in town at 9 o'clock, noon, and 3 o'clock. Because at that time, you're supposed to pray. And of course, they knew they were obedient. They were praying at those times. And so, where are you? You're on Jasper Avenue, where the most people are probably going to notice you at those times. And people would hear. See, the audience of prayer is not people. The audience is God. Prescribed prayers for every object and every occasion. That was some of the drawbacks of how Jewish prayer had gone. Having certain times for prayer almost precluded people praying at other times. If you have pray this, 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 and this, well, then it's almost like, well, there's another time. Maybe there's a need. It just happens at a certain time. And it almost precludes us from praying at those times. They esteemed long prayers. I learned a long time ago that mealtime was not a time for long prayer, even for a pastor. The children are pretty eager to get to their craft dinner or whatever was on the plate. And so short prayers sometimes are very, very proper, very, very, very good. And those long, esteemed prayers. I'm not saying that, you know, sometimes we've heard maybe at a service somewhere a very lengthy prayer and it blessed our hearts. And you know, blessings on that situation, but why are we praying? Are we praying so that people will notice us praying? And prayers have become meaningless repetitions. People wanted to be seen and heard by others as they prayed. That was the false audience. The true audience is God. Pray in secret, it says here in Matthew chapter 6, in the beginning of verse 6. It says, but when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret. See, the word used room is sometimes translated closet. The word actually means storeroom, because it referred to the only room in a Jewish house that actually had a door on it. The rest of the rooms had an opening to enter into that other room, but it was just an opening, and perhaps a blanket or something was hung over it, but really it was just an opening. The only place where you could go to actually pray to be alone was in that storeroom, because it was the only one that actually had a door. So you could pray there between you and God. God will reward. The last part of verse 6 says, then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. See, the other people, they had their reward already, because the people were on Jasper Avenue or wherever. And they saw, oh, okay, this person is praying, and everybody heard them pray. They had their reward in full already. No meaningless babble in verse 7. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, not to be heard because of your many words. Also verse 7. For they think that they will be heard because of their many words. And God knows what you need before you ask. Verse 8. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. So, that was the audience of prayer. And we need to understand. We need to have that place where we can pray alone. Consider for a bit also the pattern of prayer. God's purpose for prayer, from verse 9, for the glory to be given to God. The verse says, this then is how you should pray. I want to acknowledge that this outline that I'm following on this part of my sermon is not original with me. It may have come from Warren Wiersbe, a former Bible teacher on Back to the Bible radio broadcast. I try always to acknowledge if I've received some specific help in a sermon to acknowledge the people that I studied or listened to. I remember actually that same speaker, Warren Wiersbe, he said he was in a service one time and he listened to the pastor preaching and he recognized his own book in that sermon. And the pastor gave the idea that he had done all the study himself, and Warren Wiersbe saw, oh, well, I know where he got that from. So it's nothing wrong with using someone else's material, but we need to acknowledge that. So I tried to be faithful in that. In verse 9, it says some very quick points for us to consider this pattern. God is our Father. It says, our Father in heaven. Let me just stop just a moment here. I remember almost every time my dad would pray, he'd start with our loving God and Heavenly Father. That's he almost always started his prayer that way. Our loving God and Heavenly Father. So we're talking about our Father in heaven. And God is our priority. Hallowed be your name. God is our program. Your kingdom come. God's program, remember? God is our plan. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God is our provision. See, all these P's, I would never have been able to figure this out, but Warren Wiersbe was able to. God is our provision. Give us this day our daily bread. Continuing on, verse 12. God is our pardon. Forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. And God is our protection. Verse 13, first part of it. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And God is our preeminence. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I need to just say this. Because these last words are not found in some of the more reliable manuscripts, it is likely that these words were not in the original text. Many translations place these words in footnotes or in brackets. So John MacArthur says in his commentary on Matthew. Even though these words may not appear in the original text, they are a fitting climax to the prayer that Jesus taught the disciples. And they are thoroughly scriptural, even though they may not actually be part of that situation. They form a beautiful doxology as seen in the kingdom, the power, and the glory of God. They echo 1 Chronicles 29:11, which says, "Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all." That's a quote from 1 Chronicles 29:11. And God is our postscript, verses 14 and 15, back in Matthew chapter 6. "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." This is serious stuff when we think about this. I'm sure you want verse 14, "For if you forgive others, then God will forgive you." But do you like verse 15? "But if you do not forgive others, your Father will not forgive you." I don't know exactly how God works that all out, and I'm not suggesting here that I know exactly how that goes. But this is serious stuff. Are we willing to forgive or are we not? Do you really want God to forgive you as you have forgiven others? Verse 12 says, "Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors." Once again, do we really want God to forgive us as we have forgiven others? Or do we actually want God to forgive us better than we forgive other people? That's a question for us to mull over. Consider this as well. In the Gospel of Luke, where the Lord's Prayer is also recorded, the disciples do not ask Jesus to teach them how to pray. There they actually just say, "God, Jesus, teach us to pray." And sometimes that's the key. We think, I want to follow this certain plan now of praying all these things that are in the Lord's Prayer. Well, maybe we should. But maybe it's just simply spending time with God in prayer. So, we've considered the audience of prayer and we've considered the pattern of prayer. I'm sure you're wondering about conditions for prayer as we're coming near the end of this time in our service. First, we have assurance of answered prayer. John 16:24 says this, "Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive and your joy will be complete." So there is an assurance that God listens to us and he answers a prayer. Second, there are conditions for answer prayer. You need to ask. You'd say, "Well, of course I need to ask." Well, consider these passages. Also from Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8 says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks the door will be opened." So, ask. Sometimes we don't have because we don't ask. And I'm going to come to that in a moment. James 4 verse 2. "You desire but do not have. So you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God." So ask. John 16:24. "Until now you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete." So we need to ask. Be prepared to ask. Be unashamed in your asking. You need to ask in Jesus' name. John 16, from verse 23 says, "In that day you will no longer ask me anything. Very truly I tell you, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete." ask in Jesus' name. Not in my name, not in, like the farmer who said, God, make it hot so I can get my crop off. No. Well, it turned cold. Now, I remember him actually saying it was a little bit hard when he had a bit of a breakdown with the combine and get out of his heated cab and crawl under that thing and do some fixing at 35 below. That was a bit of a challenge, but he got his crop off. Not in my name, but in God's name. We need to remain in Jesus. John 15:7, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. You need Jesus' words to remain in you. John 15:7. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish. It will be done for you. Now, let me just stop there just for a minute. Oh, my neighbor's dog barks all the time. I wish that dog would die. God, I want that dog to die. Well, okay. Is that really what? Well, I can ask anything and I'll have it. Well, maybe we should go to God and say, God, okay, what is the best way to kind of go through this situation? And if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done to you. You need to ask according to God's will. And we say, sometimes we don't know what God's will is. You know, often I don't know what God's will is. And we need to just place ourselves before God and ask him, okay, what should I do in this situation? I don't know, but please guide me. You know, I actually believe we can do God's will without knowing God's will. By just placing yourself before him, and he will guide you. And beforehand, I didn't know that was what God's will was, but God guides me in a certain direction, according to his will. We need to obey God. 1 John 3, from verse 21. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. Third, we, in this concluding parts, I've always hated when pastors kind of said, okay, in conclusion, then they talk for another half hour. Third, there are hindrances to answer prayer. There are. One is, we ask with wrong motives. James 4, verse 3, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives. About the dog or whatever it might be. That you may spend what you get on your pleasures. So I would like to suggest, you know what? Sure, it'd be nice to get that $1 million that everybody's talking about. Then I could really praise God for that. You know what? I'm not so convinced that I would do anything different with $1 million that was thrown in my lap than the $5 I got in my wallet right now. But maybe that's just me. So we can spend it on our pleasures? Well, wrong motives. And sometimes there's a hindrance in answer prayer because we have sin in our lives. Psalm 66, verse 18. If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. So what do we do with this business of prayer? Does this maybe change the way we pray or the times we pray, what we pray about? Perhaps it does. So I encourage you, just take what we've been talking about. Take the Lord's Prayer, which, by the way, is actually the true Lord's Prayer is found in John 17. This is really the disciples' prayer, although it's come to be known as the Lord's Prayer. So pray, God will listen, God will answer your prayers. You may have noticed that in my pastoral prayer especially, I use kind of an acrostic as a guide to what I pray about. The acrostic is the word ACTS, T-S. So if you want to use that in your own prayer time, you go ahead and do that. First, adore God for who he is. Then confess anything that might be wrong in your life. Then thank him for things he has done. And then supplication. Ask him for what your needs are. If you want to use that as a guide in your prayer, but please, it's something that I like to use that isn't necessarily what you need to use. And I encourage you to read through the Lord's Prayer again and again and look for guidance as God will show you as you pray. Place yourself before him at his disposal, and he will watch over you. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. As I pray, I invite the worship team to come forward. Dear God, we want to thank you for what you have nudged us to. And Father, I just thank you for what you want to say to us just right now. As we think about prayer, think about how our prayers could change. Think about the audience of prayer and perhaps whatever pattern we might be using. And Father, we thank you. We pray this in your holy name. Amen.